This morning, America's first news starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
More friction on trade. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka, on this Tuesday, May 7. Thanks for being with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The U.S. is accusing China of reneging on promises during trade talks, but Washington and Beijing still plan to have further discussions this week.
The Treasury Department has officially rejected a request by House Democrats for President Trump's tax returns.
The deployment of Navy forces to the Middle East was triggered by intelligence that suggested Iran was planning attacks on U.S. troops.
And more than a year, after more than half a year, following Hurricane Michael, Tyndall Air Force Base in the Florida Panhandle is still trying to recover.
7 months later, there are still buildings that are falling apart or falling down that are marked for kind of total demolition. Nearly every building or structure, including hangars, stuff like that, was damaged during the storm, and a third of them are going to have to be destroyed totally. They're unsalvageable.
Wall Street Journal reporter Andy Durin paid a visit to Tyndall. He's here in about 25 minutes. It doesn't look like an end to the trade dispute between the U.S. and China is ending anytime soon. U.S. officials yesterday said Beijing reneged on promises and are now promising to implement President Trump's threat to raise tariffs quickly on Chinese imports. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer said tariffs on $200 billion in Chinese imports would rise from 10% to 25% starting Friday. This comes from what he called an erosion in commitments by China. The announcement follows tweets from President Trump on Sunday that threatened to expand tariffs to cover nearly everything the U.S. imports from China. Despite his negative comments, Mr. Lighthizer said high-level talks with Chinese negotiators were expected to continue Thursday and Friday in Washington. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. The talks were originally scheduled to resume tomorrow, but Mr. Trump's threat of new tariffs on Sunday caused a delay as Beijing considered whether to cancel the talks. On the news, U.S. stocks recoiled sharply yesterday morning, but they staged a comeback in the afternoon. It's an official thumbs down from Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin in response to a request by House Democrats for President Trump's tax returns. Mr. Mnuchin has concluded that lawmakers were trying to expose details of the president's finances rather than conducting legitimate legislative oversight. The move will likely send the dispute between the executive and legislative branches into federal court, where judges may take months or maybe years to resolve a legal question about the boundaries of congressional probes. Mr. Mnuchin, in a one-page letter, told Massachusetts Congressman Richard Neal, chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, that he relied on advice from the Justice Department and that the department intends to write a published legal opinion detailing its views. A tax code section clearly gives Mr. Neal the power to request and get anyone's tax returns. Mr. Mnuchin says this specific request exceeds Congress's constitutional powers. House Judiciary Chairman Gerald Nadler has scheduled a vote tomorrow to hold Attorney General William Barr in contempt of Congress after he refused to provide an unredacted version of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report to Congress. Mr. Nadler and Mr. Barr have been sparring over what the Justice Department will provide to Congress beyond the redacted report that was publicly released last month. An update from Jeff Mordock, Justice Department reporter at The Washington Times. Jeff, what's happened here?
Well, what happened is the House Judiciary Committee is looking for the unredacted version of the Mueller report, along with the underlying evidence Robert Mueller and his team looked at to compile the report. The Attorney General has said that he can't provide that information because it's all grand jury information, and he can't release grand jury information under penalty of law. Democrats are saying, well, you can release it to us because this falls under our oversight rulings. And the Attorney General says, I don't think it does. And they've really been disputing about this. And now it's starting to come to a head because they set a date of 9 o'clock Monday morning for Attorney General Barr to hand over the unredacted report along with the underlying evidence, and it came and went. So now they're going to have a hearing Wednesday to vote in the Judiciary Committee. It's a markup hearing to decide whether to hold him or not in contempt. If it passes, and since it's a Democrat-controlled committee, it likely will, it will then go on to the larger House for a vote.
And being held in contempt, if you're the United States Attorney General, would mean what?
It doesn't. It's toothless. It's really toothless, because to enforce a contempt citation, you need the Department of Justice to enforce it. So essentially, it would fall under Bill Barr to enforce a contempt citation on himself,
right,
to turn over the documents, which he's already made it clear he's not going to do. So that puts the Democrats in kind of a difficult situation, because if usually when Congress holds somebody in contempt, which is pretty rare, they will get the full force of the full weight and force of the Justice Department behind them and take that person to court and force them to comply. But now Congress is going to be in a situation where if they decide to take this to federal court, they're going to have to do this on their own. They're going to have to use their staff attorneys. They will not have the full weight. They will not have the support. They will not have access to Justice Department attorneys to enforce this contempt citation, because the Justice Department is the group that's going to be fighting the contempt citation. It's kind of mind-boggling in some ways.
We're speaking with Jeff Mordock, Justice Department reporter at The Washington Times. His piece is called House Judiciary Committee Schedules Vote to Hold A.G. Barr in Contempt, a reference to the U.S. Attorney General William Barr. I'll ask this sort of broadly. In political terms, is this just political gamesmanship, like when one party is in control of a certain branch of government and a different party is in control of another branch? So I'm not trying to diminish what either side is trying to do here, but is that what's going on?
It is. I mean, some of this is political theater. The last time an attorney general was held in contempt, it was the Republicans who held Eric Holder in contempt, and nothing really happened to him about it, because they, again, the Republicans had to go it alone without the full force of the Justice Department, so they abandoned that pretty quickly. And that's probably what's going to happen here. So a lot of it is political theater. I mean, a contempt citation, really what it boils down to is an attempt to attach a stigma to somebody.
Okay, so how far could this go? Does a higher court wind up addressing this? Perhaps the Supreme Court? Does the clock get run out here somehow?
That, it really depends on how far the Democrats want to push this. If the Democrats really do want to push this, this will start in a federal court with an attempt to enforce their subpoena to get the less redacted version of the Mueller report in all the underlying evidence. And then it'll start and I don't want to sound like President Trump did a couple of months ago when he was talking about cases, how his cases move through the courts, but it's going to be like that. It's going to start at the federal level, then it's going to go to the appeals level, then it's going to probably be kicked back to the federal level, then it's going to go through the courts for a while, and then might ultimately end up at the Supreme Court. But if it goes through the courts, it's a slog. And who even knows if this is going to continue, because we may get to 2020 and the issue might be moot.
All right, so the clock could run out, for example, perhaps in voters' minds, or our eyes could glaze over as this thing bounces from court to court?
That's exactly right. And, I mean, after a while you start to lose sight, because let's say the first federal court issues a decision. Well, whoever that decision is against is going to appeal it.
Thanks, Jeff. Jeff Mordock, Justice Department reporter at The Washington Times. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
At Dell, we know running a small business takes hard work. As a thank you, for all of Small Business Month, we're offering up to 45% off select computers with Intel Core processors. Plus, get additional savings when you call a Dell Small Business Technology Advisor. Call 877-BUY-DELL today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Additional savings valid May 6th through 30th at 8 a.m. Eastern on select computers from customer calls Dell. Excludes Dell Canvas, PowerEdge T30, and select order codes.
Hey, glad you're with us. Welcome into Tuesday. The deployment of Navy forces to the Middle East is in response to direct threats against U.S. troops by Iran. American intelligence officials said yesterday that Iran drew up plans to target U.S. forces in Iraq and possibly Syria to orchestrate attacks in waters between Yemen and East Africa and in the Persian Gulf with armed drones. There's also been intelligence that Iran may be seeking to target U.S. forces in Kuwait. It's not clear whether the new intel indicated Tehran plans were imminent or in preparation for an increase in hostilities. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo spoke at a meeting of Arctic Council members in Finland.
We're taking all the appropriate actions, both from a security perspective and well as our ability to make sure that the president has a wide range of options in the event that something should actually take place.
The Trump administration is sending an aircraft carrier strike group and 4 to 6 bombers as extra force to the region. Iran is dismissing the deployment as, quote, psychological warfare. Meanwhile, European officials now say Iran appeared poised to breach portions of a pact that restricted Tehran's nuclear program. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Foreign and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin has made it official. The administration won't be turning President Trump's tax returns over to the Democratic-controlled House. Mnuchin told Ways and Means Committee Chairman Richard Neal in a letter that the panel's request lacks a legitimate legislative purpose, as Supreme Court precedent requires. The move, which was expected, is sure to set in motion a legal battle over Trump's tax returns. China confirmed today its economy czar will go to Washington for trade talks, despite fears he might cancel after President Trump threatened to escalate a tariff war over Beijing's technology ambitions. The announcement suggests President Xi Jinping's government is putting its desire to end a conflict that has battered Chinese exporters ahead of the political need to look tough in the face of U.S. pressure. The decision to have Xi's top economic advisor take part in talks due to start Thursday might keep alive hopes the two biggest global economies can make peace. Scientists say people are putting nature in more trouble now than at any other time in human history, with the risk of extinction looming over 1 million species of plants and animals. But it's not too late to fix the problem, according to the UN's first comprehensive report on biodiversity. Enrique Salaz is an explorer for National Geographic.
Over 3/4 of the land on our planet have been already impacted by humans. More than half of the ocean is targeted by industrial fishing. We are reaching a point where the natural world will not be able to continue providing for us.
The report found that species loss is accelerating to a rate tens or hundreds of times faster than in the past. More than 500,000 species on land have insufficient habitat for long-term survival and are likely to go extinct unless their habitats are restored. The Kentucky Horse Racing Commission has denied the appeal of Maximum Security's disqualification as Kentucky Derby winner for interference, saying the steward's decision is not subject to appeal. Racing stewards disqualified Maximum Security and Elevated Country House to first after an objection filed by two jockeys. Stewards determined Maximum Security impeded the paths of several horses in the race.
All this time, I thought that was part of the strategy. Like NASCAR, where you cut in front of somebody to slow them down.
No, I don't think this is the end of it either.
It doesn't sound like it. Wait, oh, my goodness. Well, horse racing, just with it, just the attention they didn't want, right? Focus on not the horses. Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour. Data-driven fields, such as data scientist and mathematician, are among the best jobs of the year, according to the 31st edition of the Jobs Rated report released by CareerCast.com. Kyle Kensing is the online content editor at CareerCast. Kyle, give us some findings.
If you look at something like data scientist, it's number one this year, and that actually kind of sets the trend for this top 10. A lot of jobs that are heavy emphasis on numbers and data. That's a 19% growth outlook for data scientists. Statistician, 33%. And a mathematician, also at about 33%. And there's nothing lower than 15%, which is university professor. And that's a job that's really sort of important to this entire top 10, as pretty much all of the top 10 in here are recommended that you have at least a bachelor's degree to get started.
I remember at one time, I think not too long ago, actuary was number one, right? 22% growth outlook, $102,000 a year in terms of annual median salary. Name some of these other ones in the top 10.
Yeah, as you mentioned, actuary has been a pretty consistent one throughout the history of Jobs Rated and landing here in this top 10. It's still there at number 10. As I mentioned, numbers is a big theme. That applies to actuary as well as data scientist, statistician, mathematician. But some of the others as well, like occupational therapist, who's number 4 this year. Annual median salary right around $85,000. Growth outlook at 24%. Genetic counselor, which is a relatively new one that we've started tracking, just added last year. That's at about $80,000 annual median salary and a growth outlook of 29%. So it's a pretty high salary. It's pretty great growth outlook for all of these top 10.
I'm speaking with Kyle Kensing. He's the online content editor at CareerCast.com. They're out with their survey identifying the best jobs for 2019. It does seem more and more like these STEM jobs, the science, technology, engineering, math, seem to capture a greater portion of that top 10 each time.
Yeah, it's pretty routine that STEM really kind of occupies these best job spots. And really, if you look at the entire jobs rated report, 1 through 224, even beyond the top 10, you know, the importance of STEM is undeniable. You know, whether it's, as I keep mentioning, this recurring theme with the numbers, but also in terms of something like information security analyst appearing here in the top 10, almost $100,000 in annual median salary, growth outlook at 28%. And, you know, if you follow the news, it's impossible to miss the stories about how important that field is. You know, you think of the Sony data breaches a few years ago, talk about the polling with the elections and that sort of thing. Really, the importance of this job, and this is another STEM field here, can't be denied.
Thanks, Kyle. Kyle Kensing, online content editor at careercast.com. Next hour, by the way, a look at the worst jobs for 2019. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. I love the incredible feeling of five-star hotel sheets, but it's so difficult and expensive to get sheets like that at home. That's why I've been recommending Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is the fastest-growing bedding brand in the world with over 35,000 five-star reviews. They were the first DTC bedding company, meaning they work directly with manufacturers and directly with customers. No middlemen. That saves us money. With Brooklinen, I can expect luxury sheets without the luxury markup. My Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. I couldn't recommend them more if you're looking to treat yourself or a loved one to a bedding upgrade. For a limited time right now, Brooklinen.com has an offer while celebrating its fifth birthday. Get 20% off site-wide when you shop at Brooklinen.com, but only until May 7th. Shop their biggest event to date. Brooklinen is so confident in their products that all sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get 20% off site-wide is to go to Brooklinen.com. Only until Tuesday, May 7th. That's Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen.com. These are the best sheets ever.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday, May 7th. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Trade talks between the U.S. and China will resume Thursday. Treasury Secretary says no to releasing the president's tax returns. The U.S. says Iran was targeting American troops in the Middle East. Voters in Colorado decide this week whether Denver will decriminalize the psychedelic substance in magic mushrooms. Freebies and discounts for teachers and nurses this week. We'll name some in about 15 minutes. And the Starbucks cup accidentally winding up in the Game of Thrones. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. Progress on some of the repairs is now on hold at Tyndall Air Force Base on the Florida Panhandle, as Congress has yet to pass a disaster aid package for the areas hit by Hurricane Michael last October. Wall Street Journal reporter Andrew Durin says the pause has exasperated Air Force officials and local residents who worry that the lack of funding is prolonging an already difficult recovery in that area. The Air Force stopped funding new recovery projects on May 1. Andy paid a visit. What'd you see?
So what we saw there is an Air Force base that is still very damaged and recovering from Hurricane Michael almost 7 months ago, when actually the eye of the storm actually passed directly over Tyndall. It was directly in the crossfire of the storm. And yeah, 7 months later, there are still buildings that are falling apart or falling down that are marked for kind of total demolition. Nearly every building on the base, building or structure, including hangars, stuff like that, was damaged during the storm, and a third of them are going to have to be destroyed totally. They're unsalvageable. And what you see is, you know, the interior, some of these buildings, there's still broken glass and shards of glass and kind of debris everywhere. There are still huge kind of metal heaps of broken buildings. There are still buildings without roofs. So it's still very much affected by the storm that happened almost 7 months ago.
Boy, and what struck me too is that not just that there's a lot to do and a lot of repairs to make, but some of it doesn't sound like it's going to happen. There's just no money. So what happens? Stuff just gets left, forgotten?
So the situation there is the Air Force was able to kind of take money from other parts of the Air Force initially and put it towards initial disaster recovery at Tyndall. So that's stuff like removing mold from buildings, being able to put up some of the tents you see, putting kind of tarps over roofs, very kind of initial repairs, things like that that have already been going on. Those will continue. But any sort of new recovery project that the Air Force wants to do at Tyndall Air Force Base, they can't pay for it. So that's stuff like there are dormitories where airmen live where they can't start repairs on some of those buildings. There are kind of child care and school facilities that they can't begin repairs on now because they don't have the money for it. And there, you know, there are kind of headquarter facilities, other things like that, where they're just not able to move forward with work. They're not able to kind of pay for contracts for people to come in and fix some of this stuff. So yeah, in some of these cases, the recovery and repair work cannot move forward.
We're speaking with Andrew Duren, Wall Street Journal reporter. His piece is called Hurricane-Torn Air Force Base's Recovery Stalls as Congress Lingers on Disaster Aid. And he paid a visit to Tyndall Air Force Base in Florida 7 months now after Hurricane Michael struck. So explain the role of Congress here.
Yeah, so Congress has not yet passed a... So usually when a major storm happens, Congress will pass a kind of small supplemental appropriations package that funds kind of disaster recovery efforts for those areas hit by the storms or storms. And so this year, in 2018, or last year, I guess, Congress was going to pass a bill that kind of addressed or provided funding for all of the various areas hit by the various natural disasters last year, whether that was wildfires in California, hurricanes in North Carolina, Florida, and then Georgia. They were going to pass one bill, it was several billion dollars to give aid to all these places. They were unable to do that at the end of 2018, and then now so far through 2019, they have still been unable to pass disaster bill. I mean, there have been a few reasons for the delay. Part of it initially was the whole government shutdown. Passing any sort of funding bill was kind of an issue in Congress for a while, and so it didn't happen then. And then now they've been kind of, both Republicans and Democrats, they've been kind of caught up on providing funding for Puerto Rico. So Republicans and President Trump have wanted to kind of limit the amount of new money that Puerto Rico gets for disaster recovery from 2017, while Democrats have pushed for more funding. And so there's been a kind of a month-long impasse here. And so money that was going to go towards, you know, recovery efforts across the country, including at Tyndall Air Force Base, has been held up in Congress because of the various delays and disagreements.
So if there's a funding agreement, Tyndall still might not get everything it wants or needs?
So if there's a funding agreement, Tyndall will be able to kind of begin working on some of those repairs and everything that I mentioned before and the dormitories and things like that. One thing that has already happened, though, so on top of Tyndall, you know, rebuilding roofs and things like that, kind of repairing what was already there and for the time being, Tyndall also wants to, because so much of the base was destroyed, the Air Force is actually planning an entire overhaul of the entire Air Force base.
Wow.
And so to do that, they need money to kind of pay for some of the planning and design work that they want to be doing, and they also don't have the money to pay for some of that work. And so they're already working on a pretty constricted timeline. The Air Force wants to be able to have the base kind of fully operational again within the next few years. And so they're already kind of rushing through this planning process to kind of get the base back.
Thanks, Andy. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Andrew Duren, who was at Tyndall Air Force Base in the Florida Panhandle. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. If you want to have fun, you can find us on Twitter. At RadioGavin1.
Sure.
Is on my right-hand side.
Place to be.
You can find me at Gordon Deal. Facebook, you know, it's like old people at this point. It's you want to make some comments there, fine. Like this, share that. That's good.
Sure.
But the real biting cynicism and sarcasm and good-natured teasing,
of course,
is on Twitter. That's where it is.
Yes. That's the only place on Twitter where it's good-natured, as
that's
we've
right.
said before.
If you're clever in your 140 character, like 280, I'm not impressed by your 280 characters. Anybody can ramble for 280 characters.
You still want the 140.
I'm a 140 believer.
Yeah.
Show me the creativity. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we know when you're applying for a job, it helps to have a good cover letter, but a nice-looking billboard might not hurt either. That was apparently the mindset of one job seeker who, in an attempt to get the company's attention, rented out a billboard near Walt Disney World in Orlando. It reads, "Dear Walt Disney World executives in HR, experienced EAPA professionals seeking position as a WDW assistant." It then lists his phone number and the email address, futurewdwassistant@gmail.com. According to Fox News, the man named Brandon Fox previously worked for Disney as part of the company's college program. In 2012, he moved to New York, but he's willing to head back to Florida for Disney. He says he was inspired to rent the billboard while riding the subway in New York City. The train was covered in ads, and they caught his attention. He figured if it worked on him, it might work on Disney's executives. While it hasn't landed him a job yet, he does appear to have the company's attention. Spokesperson for the company reportedly said, "We appreciate the creativity and encourage anyone interested in a role with us to apply at DisneyCareers.com."
That's all they gave the poor guy?
Just sent him over to the website, just like everybody else. But I don't know.
Man.
Maybe they are able to, you know, flag it. Maybe somehow it gets through a little bit. I don't know. It doesn't sound like they're super duper impressed.
Wow.
But they just wanted to say, hey, you know, good, nice job, kid. But I don't think it's going to help you.
Rents out a billboard.
Yeah, I know.
And they just direct anybody to the careers email.
Yes. Oh. Good luck to him.
Good creativity.
Yes.
I wonder what that costs.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. And Kevin Durant, Gordon, currently a member of the Golden State Warriors and having a heck of a playoff so far, averaging over 35 points a game as he tries to will his team to a third straight NBA title. But that's not stopping fans in Houston from taunting Durant about where he might end up next season. TNT cameras caught the sound of a fan shouting, "New York Knicks," over and over again while Durant was shooting free throws. It's been speculated that New York could be a landing spot for the free agent this summer. The taunting continued during other parts of the game as well. TNT announcers even picked up on the chant and wondered aloud whether the fan knew something the rest of us didn't. Social media users had some fun with it as well, with one NBA writer saying that he wants a fan chanting "New York Knicks" at every sporting event for the rest of the year. In any case, the incident didn't seem to rattle KD too much, as he still scored 34 points.
Pretty sure he's used to that kind of stuff at
this
point.
Yes, yes. He's had quite a season of people asking him questions about where he's going next.
This human resources professional is a rock star thanks to Kronos. And this is her hype song.
I'm the spark before the fire. I'm the power in the train. I
have HR, payroll, talent, and time.
I'm the dream and you should know that.
Now we're engaging all the best people.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
Family is big around here. We're family-owned, family-operated, family-managed. And that means legacy. That means dependability. That means using Grainger. With over 1.5 million products and knowledgeable product experts, Grainger has whatever we need. And with same-day pickup and next-day delivery options, they have it whenever we need it. For over 90 years, businesses like ours have trusted Grainger. Because, like family, Grainger's got our back. Call, clickgrainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Tuesday. Businesses want to show teachers a little love. For Teacher Appreciation Week, there are some goodies. The biggest freebie day for educators is today, Teacher Appreciation Day, also called National Teachers Day. Nurses getting love this week, too. Some offers vary by location. Here's a list from USA Today. Arby's. Some locations giving teachers and school administrators with ID a free sandwich today. Chick-fil-A. There's not a nationwide promotion, but select locations are offering teachers a deal today. Some locations celebrating for a whole week. You can call your closest location to figure it out. Check Facebook, maybe. Duffy's Sports Grill. Teachers get a $10 MVP bonus loaded directly onto their MVP accounts during Teachers Appreciation Week, Monday through Friday, when they show their faculty ID. And Salada Salad Kitchen. Teachers get a buy one, get one free offer Friday, May 10 on salads and wraps when they show their valid school ID. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a House committee is poised to hold Attorney General William Barr in contempt of Congress, the opening salvo in what could be a lengthy court battle between House Democrats and President Trump's administration over Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler scheduled a Wednesday vote to hold Barr in contempt, citing the Justice Department's failure to provide the full text of Mueller's report by yesterday's deadline. Hundreds of former federal prosecutors, both Democrats and Republicans, argued in a statement that President Trump would be charged with obstruction of justice if he weren't president. The statement was signed by more than 400 law enforcement officials who served under several different administrations. The Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel policy concludes that a sitting president cannot be indicted. Two Pulitzer Prize-winning Reuters journalists are celebrating their freedom after being released from a Myanmar prison where they were serving seven-year sentences for violating a secrecy law while reporting on security forces' abuses of Muslims. The two were among 6,520 prisoners listed in a blanket presidential pardon. Microsoft says it's working on a system that would ensure that voting in elections is kept secure. The tech giant says the system would make voting secure, verifiable, and subject to reliable audits. Microsoft says it hopes to have some of the early prototypes of the system ready to roll by next year's general election. One feature of the Election Guard system is that ballots are registered in encrypted form so they can be accurately, independently tracked long after they are cast. Now that the latest royal baby has arrived, the world is waiting to learn his name. The baby of Meghan Markle and Prince Harry weighed 7 pounds and 3 ounces. Harry was ecstatic when he announced the news yesterday.
It was amazing, absolutely incredible. And as I said, I'm so incredibly proud of my wife. And as every father and parent would ever say, you know, your baby is absolutely amazing, but this little thing is absolutely to die for, so I'm just over the moon.
The baby is seventh in line to the throne, the first part American mixed-race baby ever born into the royal family.
How about that? That is Harry being ecstatic, by the way.
He was ecstatic.
For an Englishman, I'm saying in general.
And as we reported yesterday, I think the baby was actually born last Friday, and it was a girl named Ivy, but whatever.
Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
What many people love about Game of Thrones is its meticulous attention to detail, but Sunday night, eagle-eyed viewers spotted something out of place in Winterfell. During a celebration of the victory over the Night King, the camera pans to Daenerys, who appears to be upset. It is later revealed that she doesn't like that Jon Snow is receiving all the attention over the victory in Winterfell. Fox News says when the camera cuts to Daenerys sipping the wine, social media users were quick to point out to an item that was out of place, a cup from out of the realm, appeared to be sitting on the table, a Starbucks cup that had been left while the scene was being prepped. As one viewer tweeted, "Daenerys, mother of dragons, the unburnt, the breaker of chains, the drinker of Starbucks, hashtag Game of Thrones." A Reddit user appeared to be the first one to spot the item. It's unclear whether it was a Starbucks cup or another kind of coffee cup, but it did not appear to be an item that would be seen in Westeros. In response, HBO said in a statement yesterday that it was a mistake. Oh, and the fact that Daenerys wanted an herbal tea. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.